Lord Jesus, we're so thankful to be here. Father, I'm thankful for what you're going to do with us this morning. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would just be so evident here in each and every life. Lord, those that are hurting this morning, that you'd heal. Those that are sick and at home this morning, I pray that your hand would be upon them. Lord, that you'd guide every word spoken now and that our ears would be attentive to what you have to say. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If y'all would like to open up your Bibles to James chapter 1, what I've been thinking a lot about is about testing and trials and genuineness, and this has really been on my mind for probably 4, 5, 6 months, and I still don't have it all figured out. And everything that we face, the struggles and trials and everything. But James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds." I don't know about y'all, but it's really hard for me to have pure joy when I'm facing a trial. It's one of those things that sometimes you complain, sometimes you murmur, sometimes you question, sometimes you say, "God, how long is this going to last?" But the Bible tells us that we should consider it pure joy. It says, "Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So the second half of that sounds a whole lot better. To be mature and complete and not lacking anything. But in order to get to the maturity, in order to get to the not lacking anything, the Bible tells us that we're going to face trials. We're going to face struggles. We're going to face things, testing. I was thinking about this and I thought, where all do you have tests at? You have tests in school, right? Why do you have tests in school and your work? It's to show what you know, to show if you're being taught well, if you're retaining well. So we're tested in school. What else is tested? There's products testing, right? From a vehicle with a crash test, you know, to rate how safe it is, to testing products that you eat to make sure that they don't have a bacteria or contaminants. There's all types of testing that goes around. I remember when I was in school, Oakley sunglasses were the big thing, and everybody wanted Oakley sunglasses, and at the gas stations, all these Oakley sunglasses popped up on the stands where you checked out at the registers, but they weren't real. They might say Oakley, but there was a way that you could see if they were genuine Oakley or not. If they had screws in them, they weren't genuine Oakley. But if they didn't have screws in them, then you could tell that they were genuine Oakley. But they were knockoffs. They were fake. They weren't real. There's all kinds of things. I don't even know all the things that are popular now for people, but there was I think Gucci used to be something that was real expensive and real popular, and then there was all these knockoffs of these Gucci purses and Gucci handbags, and they were fake. They weren't real. They weren't genuine, and they were about a quarter of the price. Sunscreen is tested. Can I tell you something? You want good sunscreen. If you don't, you're going to get burnt, right? There's all kinds of things that's tested. So even my wallet, I was looking at my wallet, it says genuine leather. So it's genuine, it's real. It used to be a cow, you know, and so it shows that it's not fake. If something's genuine, the definition says truly what something is said to be, authentic. So truly what something said it's to be, it's authentic. So without testing, without knowing, how do you know if something's genuine, if something's real? And how is it any different with our walk with God? How is it any different with our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Unless we go through some trials, unless we go through some testing, if we're in a shelter all the time in this bubble, how will we ever know if we're genuine, if we're real, if we're really God's disciples? 1 Peter 1:6-9, it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer griefs and all kinds of trials." There it is again, though, about rejoicing, but you're facing all these trials. It says, "These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul." It's saying that when you're going through that testing, when you're going through those trials, it's proving that you're genuine. It's proving that you're of what you're made of. If you're genuine leather like my wallet, if you're genuine sunglasses like those sunglasses, as you're going through those trials, it's what's bubbling up. It says as though a refiner's fire. Now, I've never refined anything, but I've seen it done. And what happens when they turn up the heat on gold or silver or precious metals? What happens? The impurities come to the top. But without the heat, the impurities never come to the top. And what happens? They rake off those impurities and they rake off those impurities until they stop coming. And y'all, it's no different for us in our walk with God. And do we ever stop? And do we ever have this perspective of saying, what I'm going through is refining me? How many of us stop and go, wow, when I'm sick, when I'm struggling, when things are rough at work, when I'm having trials, when I'm facing hardships, do you guys ever stop and go, wow, God must be doing something great in my life? Do we ever stop and say, the heat sure is turned up. I guess there must be some refining going on in my soul and my spirit. Most of us don't do that, do we? Most of us stop and we want to complain and we say, God, why me? Why me? Why is this happening to me? Why am I facing all these difficulties? And I want to go back to Deuteronomy 8. If you have your Bibles, flip on back there, because in Deuteronomy 8 is where we're going to be for most of this the rest of the message. And in Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. He says to be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. Y'all, sometimes when we're going through trials, sometimes when we're going through testing, it's to know what's really in your heart, what's really coming out. When you're squeezed, you see what you're made of. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your hearts that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in His ways and revering Him. So right here, I was visiting with my aunt yesterday and we began to talk, and I don't have the answer to this. But the difference between trials and the difference between trials and test and discipline. And so right here, it's kind of both are mentioned about the trials that you face to see what was in your heart. And then it says the Lord disciplines. And so as I was thinking about this, I began to think about it all afternoon. And it's hard to know. So what's the difference between a test and discipline? Well, when you think about it, I think a test is to prove what you know, what you're made of, right? When you're tested at school, it's not because you've done something wrong. It's because it's to see what knowledge you have. And the same with God. When I looked up to test, it's to prove. And so it's to prove or test. It's to show what you're really made of, right? And when the fire's turned up and the impurities come to the top, that's saying, I've got, like, for me, there's been times in my life that anger has just come up inside of me. Anybody else ever have that problem that I get angry? That anger should not be there. So when I'm facing those trials, when I'm facing those difficulties, if anger's coming up, then I have an impurity in my life that I need to deal with, right? And so when I'm facing those trials, when I'm facing those things, that impurity of anger that wells up, it can be so many different things, but discipline, when I looked it up, it says to chasten, literally with blows or figuratively with words, hence to instruct, bind, correct, instruct, punish, reform, reprove, to teach. So testing is to show us what we're really made of, the refining the impurities. Discipline is to correct us where we've gone wrong. But I look at both, and both are what? To lead us into purity, to lead us into righteousness, to lead us into holiness. And so we sometimes question, God, am I being disciplined? Or God, am I just facing a trial? I would say the best way to look at that is to examine yourself. Last week we talked about examining yourself. Examine yourself if there's rebellion, if there's sin, if there's unrepentedness in your heart. It's probably discipline that you're facing. And you need to confess that as sin. You need to ask God to forgive you. If it's a trial, if you examine your life and you say, God, I can't think of anywhere that I'm in rebellion. God, I can't think of anywhere where there's sin right at this moment, but God, I keep facing these struggles, I keep facing these things, then you might need to say, but what's coming out of me? And it's a refiner's fire purifying you. Does that make sense at all, or did I just confuse everybody? Now, y'all, I ain't got it all figured out. There's things in my life sometimes that I face, and I'm saying, God, am I living in sin? God, is there something in me where I've not done what I'm supposed to? And there's other times that I'm facing things and I'm just questioning, God, why? But the thing is to stop and examine ourselves and say, God, what are you trying to prove? What are you trying to show inside me? And as hard times come, do we just stop and we cry out to God for help? And we've talked about this recently, Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That verse has continually come up in sermons over the last several months that the Lord keeps bringing it up, and I keep preaching on it. God must be trying to get through to me or somebody in this church. When you're going through that trial, when you're going through that struggle, God is there. Cry out to Him. He's there to help us. In Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So do we stop and do we cry out and say, God, help me through this struggle. Help me through this trial. God, I don't understand it. God, if there's something in me, if there's an impurity, if there's something that needs to be taken care of, bring it to my mind so that I may not walk in sin, that I may not walk against you. And just as in Deuteronomy, he's saying, I'm trying to show you what's in your heart. They went through these trials. They went through these tests to show what was in their heart. Do we stop and we say, God, help me through this struggle. Help me through this trial. But I think what many of us do most of the time is, what do? We complain. We don't rejoice. We complain. God, why me? Why me? Why is this happening to me? Lord, help me. Please. I can't take anymore. And we're more whiners and complainers then we are stopping and saying, God, is there something in my life that needs to be changed? Numbers 14:23 says, How long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. Church, when we're facing these trials, when we're facing these struggles, we'd read that we're supposed to rejoice, that we're supposed to rejoice in all these circumstances. But here, God's rebuking, how long is this community going to grumble against me? Philippians 2, 14 through 18, it says, do everything without complaining. I need that, church. Do you? I need that. How many times do I complain? How many times do I whine? How many times? And even if I'm not speaking it out loud, I'm complaining in my heart and I'm upset. Maybe you guys are better at it than me, but there's so many times that I'm complaining and I'm thinking, why? Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God. Do you see what that's saying? So that you may become blameless and pure children of God. If you are always complaining, then that tells me we're not where we're supposed to be. Right? Because it's to become blameless and pure children of God. We got to stop the complaining. We got to stop the arguing. It says, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too be glad and rejoice with me. He's saying, even when I'm being poured out, even when things are a mess and life's such a struggle, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad. And church, I want you to think about, does somebody that's always complaining, somebody that's always upset about something, is that a person that's shining like a star? No. No. And every time we gripe, every time we grumble at work and we talk bad about the boss and we talk bad about this and we talk bad about this, I'm not preaching at y'all, I'm preaching to me too. Because it's easy to do. It's easy to get in with the group. I've been there so many times I can't even count. If somebody will start complaining about something with the boss, and you know what? You see it too, and you just join right in. Well, you know what? That's not shining like a star. That's being like the world. That's being like everybody else, and that's like acting like everybody else, and that's not what we're called to be. And maybe it's those moments that we can come through, and we can shine like stars, and we can be pure, and we can be holy, and we can be righteous, and we can take a stand, either by not saying anything or redirecting the conversation to something positive, to something glorious, to something good. Because y'all, there's so many times in life that you can change the whole narrative with just being godly and righteous and saying something good, and you can change people. And God can change us, but how many of us are stuck in that way when we're going through a trial, when we're going through a struggle, that we're just going to complain? God has given us so much to be thankful for. So much. So when we're complaining, it's hard to complain when you have genuine faith and genuine gratitude. When you think of all that God has done for you and you really begin to count your blessings, it's hard to be a complainer when you just stop and you really see all that God has done. But y'all, the testing of your faith, I want you to understand, is not just through trials. So many times, many of us, if we're going through a hardship, if we're going through a sickness, if we're going through a trial, we'll stop and pray, right? We'll stop and we'll cry out, God, help me. You know, I've been struggling this week with junk, and I didn't understand it. I didn't want to go to the doctor because the doctors never tell me nothing. I'm just, you know, that's pretty much it. But I prayed about it and I said, if I'm not better by Wednesday, I'm going to go and just be tested. I'm delivering to people. I'm in contact with a lot of people. I sounded so terrible this week. I was still going to work. And everywhere I went, everybody's like, whoa, like, you sick? Like, they wanted to stay away from me. So I just went ahead and went to the doctor. I tested negative for everything. But I kept crying out to God. God, help me get past this. Help me get through this. I don't want to be sick. So when you're struggling, when you're facing something, what do you normally do? You cry out to God, God help me. You know, think about this. When you get a text from somebody for a prayer request, what usually it is? Somebody's sick, somebody's had a bad diagnosis, something's going on terrible in somebody's life, right? It's a trial. Please, everybody, pray for me. So sometimes that's when we're crying out to God. But then you look in Deuteronomy. We're back in Deuteronomy. I told you guys we'd be there most of the time. Deuteronomy, jump down to in chapter 8, verse 10. It says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. How many of you are satisfied in here when you eat? You have plenty of food? If you don't, come see me after church. I'll make sure you have plenty of food. We have an abundance in this country. Mitzi, you know, works with United Way, and she's told me before there's no reason anybody in our area should be hungry because there's so many services out there. Even for the homeless people, there's so many services out there to help people get food. We are blessed to live in the country that we live in. So he says, when you eat and you're satisfied, verse 11, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your hearts will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Y'all, it's not just when we're facing trials that we need to be careful. It's when we're going through good times, right? It's when we're blessed, when nobody's sick, when life's good, and you got the new boat, and you can go to the lake, and you've got your toys, and you've got plenty of food, and the refrigerator's full, and the bills are all paid, and you know what? You was even able to put a little bit back in savings this week, and you have no need of nothing, you wouldn't think. We need to be on our guard. Verse 15, He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and its scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your forefathers had never seen, to humble you and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed, like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed, for it is for not obeying the Lord your God. How many of us are proud of our accomplishments and what we've done, and we think, well, I worked hard and I earned this, and man, I started from nothing, and look at where I've come to. But in all that, it's God that's given us the ability to do this. It's God that gives you the knowledge and wisdom. If you're the smartest guy in this room right now, you thank God. If you're the strongest guy in this room right now, you thank God. If you're the most successful person in this room now, you thank God. You know what? Even if you're in the middle of the pack or the bottom of the pack, you still thank God, because it's all God's blessing. It's all God's hand upon you. I give God glory for everything in my life. And y'all, when I was a young man and I was so arrogant and full of myself and thought, man, I've worked hard and I've done this and I've done that. And all the time it was God who gave me the ability to get to where I am. But how easy it is when we're blessed, when we're full and life's going good, that we just forget about God. A tragedy comes. Oh, all at once we're, God, where are you in this? But when life's good, we don't read our Bible. We don't pray every night like we're supposed to. We don't do our devotionals. Oh, do I really even need to come to church? Man, I know what Pete's going to talk about again. I know them songs that Mitzi's going to sing. Do I really need to be there? Life's so good. But boy, in the minute tragedy strikes, please pray. Y'all, we need to be just on as much on our guard through the trials and say, God, what are you showing me as we do through the good times of God? What are you showing me? Am I missing something? You can ask the elders here. God has so blessed our church. And we want to be a blessing to others. And y'all, when we go a few months that we've not been able to bless somebody, I start getting nervous. Lord, are we missing something? It's not that we're doing anything wrong, but God, we're being blessed. So we need to be blessing others. So God, are we missing something? It almost never fails, almost. About the time I'll start having those thoughts of, God, we haven't blessed anybody in a while. God, you've not brought anybody in our path that we need to help. And then all at once there'll be two or three people in the next few weeks that need help, that need a hand. And then it's like, thank you, Lord, that you showed us, that you put them in our path to help. Y'all, it's the same thing in your personal life. When you're going through those blessings, when you're living that life that... the American dream, so to speak. Do we stop and do we say, God, am I doing all that I'm supposed to do? This week we was out burning, and I think that's what caused a lot of this stuff. We cut down a couple trees and then I've had all kinds of damage from the snow and all that. So I burnt from last Friday to Monday, and it's actually this morning when I left for church where I was burning, it's still smoking. I just was burning, but you guys have all heard me talk about my dog, and she's still out there if anybody wants her. She's a beautiful dog. But I feel so bad I had to put her on a chain. I hate putting a dog on a chain, I do. And this week we're down in the yard burning, and she's at the end of her chain, her tail wagging, and she begins to whimper at us. Because she wanted so bad to come and hang out with us. And Crystal's like, Pete, are you sure? Are you sure if you let her off the chain, she'd take off? I said, yeah, because she's failed me too many times. I didn't say it in the exact words, but I'm just like, yeah. You know why? Because every time I let her off the chain, her nose goes to the ground, and she runs through her electronic collar, and she takes off to the field to play in the pond and roll in the mud. And then she goes to the neighbor's house, and she won't come home. And I have to carry her home. And it's like, I'm not going to do it again. And as bad as I felt about that dog sitting there whining, she had to remain on her chain. I wonder how many of us, with our walk with God, He says, I just can't trust you. You're going through that trial. You're going through that struggle. I hadn't been able to open up the windows of heaven and bless you yet because I just can't trust you. If I give you more money, you'll spend it on stupid stuff. You'll be gone from church. You'll be at the lake. You'll be out traveling and you'll fall away. I just can't quite trust you yet. And many of us, I wonder if when nobody's around and nobody's looking and the, so to speak, the leash comes off and the real person comes out, are we staying genuine? Would we be called real Christians at home at night when nobody's there? Would we be called real Christians when you're out on that business trip and you're alone in the motel room and you think nobody knows? Because can I tell you something? It's just an act. It's those fake sunglasses. It's a fake Gucci purse. If you're only a Christian when eyes are upon you. If you're only doing right when mom and dad's there. If you're only doing right when you're with the church group. If you act one way when you're at the fellowship on Sunday night than when you're at the football game with all your buddies, it's different. What's real? What's genuine in those times of testing? Matthew 15:8 says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Y'all, I hope and I pray that every person in this room tonight would be found genuine and real. And I hope and I pray that if there's impurities in us that need to be taken out, that God turns up the heat in your life. You say, "Pete, you're going to pray that?" I'd rather have the heat turned up in my life and be facing trials to be righteous and holy in God's eyes than to live a comfortable life and be caught up in my sin and ensnared. So I hope and I pray that for each and every one of us, that if there's something wrong in your life, that maybe this week the fire would be turned up a little bit, and that you'd stop and go back to last week's message of examining yourself and say, "Lord, what is it? What's wrong? What am I lacking? What am I not doing? Where do I need to change?" And you know what? As the blessings come and the good times come, be careful. Be careful. Now, this verse popped up on my phone this morning as the verse of the day, and I thought, you know what? This would be great to go right along with this sermon to end. Romans 12:21. "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." You know what? As we're living our lives and trials and testing come and discipline come, let's begin to overcome evil with good. With the good lives that we're living, with the friends at our work, that they wouldn't see the grumbler, that they wouldn't see complainers. In church, I'm not just saying this, I'm really asking it. You guys pray for me in that area. Because I don't want to be that anymore. And sometimes work, it wears you down. And I mean it. If I come to your mind, pray for me. I had a friend text me this week early in the morning, said, "You was on my mind and I just thought I'd text you," and said some other stuff. Man, how awesome that was. Someone, God had, if I come to your mind this week, pray for me that I might shine, as James 1:4 says, persevere. Perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. And I want to be mature, I want to be complete, and I don't want to be lacking anything. And I want that for you too. Church, I'm so thankful for the growth we've seen here at the church. I know we got a lot of people out for different reasons today. I'm so thankful for the people God's bringing in here. But church, with the growth, with the numbers, it means nothing if we're not growing spiritually, if we're not seeing lives transformed, if when you come here and you say, "Man, the Lord spoke to me," and then we apply it to our life this week and we see change taking place by the power of the Holy Spirit, that's when it's exciting. If there's four or five of us, but God's working, or if there's 150 of us and God's not working, I'd rather have the four or five where God's working and God's changing and God's transforming. And so let's allow this message to penetrate into our hearts and into our lives. And as we're facing these trials, as we're facing these tests, as we're facing these disciplines, may we be found genuine, true believers of Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I know I need to change. Father, I pray that each and every one of us this morning, any area of our life that we need change. It's so easy sometimes, it seems like, to join in with the world, the crowd. I don't want to do that anymore, and I don't want this body of believers to do that anymore. And Lord, when the discipline comes, may we recognize that it's discipline for any unrighteousness, any disobedience in our life, any sin. Lord, as the trials come, may you be refining us as fire. Lord, just as you said in your word that you were going to refine us so that we would have holy and righteous offerings to bring before you, may we recognize that. May we rejoice in those trials. Lord, it seems so strange to say that, but may we rejoice and know that You're doing something great in our life, that You're transforming us, that You're changing us. And Lord, when the good times come and the blessings come, may we never forget about You and all that You've done, and all that we are is because of You. Lead us now, Lord. May Your will be done with every life in here. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my so remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where You brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own. I'm not worthy of the scars in His hands. Yet He chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why He loved me, I can't roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me where You brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord.
I sure could use some help setting up tables and chairs in the back. I meant to do it Wednesday night and completely forgot with the men Wednesday night. So if anybody would like to help, you're welcome to go back to the gym and set up some tables and chairs for tonight. I also ask that you keep my brother-in-law Travis and his family in your prayers. He lost his step-grandmother Friday, I believe, and then his uncle passed away within about 24 hours of that also. And so just the family needs prayer. And so you guys remember them in your prayers this week. And hope everybody makes it tonight. Bring your favorite games or just come to fellowship, and we're going to have a great time starting about 6. Lizzie's going to talk to us a little bit about her mission trip, and then we'll just have a time of fellowship and hanging out. And but like I said, I'll take all the help I can get setting up tables and chairs. So y'all have a blessed day.